And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about community development on this weekend's Motherlode Views. During the first two segments, we have been talking with Community Development Director Quincy Yaley, getting an update on the department and also various projects that are going through the review process right now. Going to shift over to the topic of housing programs, and we're going to talk with Housing Programs Coordinator Rachel Bell. Rachel, thank you for coming on again. And can you tell us a little bit about the programs that are currently available in the county?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, BJ. Currently, we have a first-time homebuyers program. The first-time homebuyers program is a program designed to help make homeownership affordable for families who might not otherwise be able to purchase a home. The county offers a deferred loan of up to $120,000 and a wish down payment matching grant of up to $22,000. The eligibility requirements are individuals and families who have not owned a home in the past 3 years, and the homebuyer must earn at or below 80% of the county average income. Currently, the sale price of the home that you can purchase cannot exceed $273,000 for an existing home or $304,000 for a newly constructed home. The challenge we are facing in our first-time homebuyers program is the availability of homes for sale within this price range. We are also in the process of establishing a housing rehabilitation program for homeowners and a tenant-based rental assistance program. Other great news for homeowners in California, the state has launched the California Mortgage Relief Program to provide a one-time grant to qualified homeowners who have fallen behind on their housing payments or reverse mortgage. Using $1 billion in federal funds, the grants help homeowners who had faced a financial hardship during the COVID-19 pandemic by covering missed housing payments. Assistance through this program is not a loan and does not need to be paid back. Program information and applications are available at camortgagerelief.org. Also, California COVID-19 rent relief still has funding available for eligible renters who are behind on rent or landlords who have experienced a loss in income because of unpaid rents due to COVID-19. To apply, visit housingiskey.com or call 833-430-2122. We have helpful information and handouts on the Tuolumne County Community Development webpage under the Housing tab. If you have questions or would like to apply for the first-time homebuyers program, you can reach me at 209-533-5612.
Very good. And we will definitely, as you mentioned, it's probably a challenge right now finding available supply, but that's all good information if people want to try to reach out. So that if they want to call, they can ask questions and get further information to
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely.
Well, very good. I'll go back to Quincy Yaley. Some other topics we haven't got to yet on this weekend show, one of which there were some meetings not too long ago about a climate action plan. Can you tell us about where that kind of stands right now and what it all is?
Sure. A climate action plan is actually mandated by the state of California. So the county is going through that process because of that mandate. It's also required under our general plan. And what it does is it looks at the greenhouse gases that are emitted in the county from a variety of sources, and then strategizes ways to reduce those emissions. Another important part of the plan is a vulnerability study, where it's looking at what are the parts of our county infrastructure or just our county culture as a whole that may suffer from the impacts of climate change, which can be drought, excessive heat, unpredictable weather. Certainly we're having that right now. And so the Climate Action Plan is a document that looks at all of that and tries to provide direction for either county programs or development projects on how greenhouse gases can be reduced and how we can reduce our vulnerability to climate change overall. There is a draft document that we're finalizing, and we'll be putting that out to the public this spring. And at that time, we'll be having some additional workshops. We'll be sure to notify the public when those happen. And then we'll be taking that document to the Board of Supervisors for review and hopefully an ultimate adoption.
So does that impact, planning in the county and different things?
It does. It looks at our future development projects and how those projects can themselves mitigate for any greenhouse gas emissions that they may be reducing or producing. It also just looks at where we're doing development projects, putting projects closer to our infrastructure, to our water sewer, to our transportation network, because that ultimately can reduce the number of vehicles that are traveled in a day. And it also looks at county programs, our own county infrastructure, and making sure that projects that the county is proposing and carrying out are sensitive to potential impacts from future climate change.
I've heard, too, some discussion about Title 17 and zoning codes and updates that could be coming. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. So Title 17 is a chapter. It's in our local ordinance code, which is the set of rules and regulations that govern how we do land use, make land use decisions here in the county. So it's about zoning. So everybody's property has a zoning district, and that tells you what you can build. Can I build a commercial building, a residential building, or how big that building can be? What types of uses can go in that building? So the zoning code is very important for both the current functioning of our local economy and our local culture, but it also is important when we're looking at how do we want to grow and where do we want to grow in the future. So the Board of Supervisors has directed our department to update that zoning code. We've been working on that for over a year now. It includes hopefully positive changes that will help stimulate the economy as well as streamline housing production. We're going to be having drafts of those also out this spring. It's going to be a very busy spring for us. And we'll be having those out and taking those through another public review process and then ultimately to the board for adoption. And then we'll be going ahead and implementing it. So that is a very big change in our local code that may happen. And we'll want to make sure that we keep the public informed along the way.
We've got a couple of minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Anything else we haven't touched on that's worth noting on today's show?
You know, there's the two big things that our department is working on right now, in addition to everything else that we've talked about today, is just really trying to be a pro-housing county. We really want to create policies and programs that are useful to people, that aren't just words on a page, but that actually can be useful to people. And so, you know, through our Title 17 update process, as well as through a committee called the Housing Policy Review Committee, we're really trying to engage with our stakeholders and the public on what can the county do to help get housing built. There's a lot of things that the county doesn't have control over, the cost of construction, the prices of land. But we do have control to some level over a process that an individual may need to go through to build housing. And so we're always trying to balance, you know, how do we get housing built quickly and how do we also respect a process where we need to involve the public? And so that's something that we're always trying to balance, that we're working on. There's a lot of funding from the state right now on improving those processes. And so our staff is really dedicated to trying to do whatever we can to get new policies, new procedures to the Board of Supervisors for their review so that we can try to make headway on getting these additional units that we so desperately need.
I've noticed, too, that a couple times over recent years, we've mentioned on the radio that the permit counter is closed for a couple days. What is kind of the reason why you periodically close the permit counter? I know there's a reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do periodically close our permit counter when we have a huge backlog of permits that we need to process, and we just need to reduce our availability to the public in certain times. It's just sort of a call we make when we've got a really big stack of permits that and these are building permits that that we just need to devote a lot of attention to. We will periodically close to the public so we can focus on processing those. Another tool that we use in processing permits is we do have third-party plan review firms that the county hires and assist us in reviewing permits for to help get those through quickly. And then there's also an opportunity for if you do have a building project you're bringing to the county where we call it third-party direct. You can just go directly to pre-approved plan review firms, and sometimes that'll get your plan review done a lot faster than if you have to wait in a big stack here at the building division.
Well, we've run out of time on today's show. Quincy Yaley, Rachel Bell, thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, BJ.
Anyway, thank you for joining us on Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week. If you missed any of this episode or past Motherload Views recordings, you can go to the media section of mymotherload.com. See you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.